TUC Radio, San Francisco. Time of Useful Consciousness. The Impeachment of Bush and Cheney. Gore Vidal wrote in his foreword to John Nichols' new book, The Genius of Impeachment, quote, "Of course, George Bush and Dick Cheney have committed acts that would merit impeachment. In a proper country, they would be tried as traitors. You don't lie to a country, get it into war, waste $1 trillion, kill a lot of people, all for your lust of oil and admiration for your corporate partners. If that isn't treason, I don't know what is." End of quote. In part one of this program, John Nichols had raised the question why, given the high crimes and misdemeanors of Bush and his administration, is not our political class and media rising up and saying that we need to act on this? Why is impeachment off the table, as some Democrats have declared? Nichols started out with a history lesson and said that in the U.S. Constitution, God is not mentioned once, but there are 6 separate references as to how to impeach a president. The authors of the Constitution designed a method to get rid of a president who violated the law of the land. What they feared most was that a future president might use war as a tool to bring about what they called an elected despotism. Now you are about to hear the animated question and answer period after John Nichols' talk on the impeachment of Bush and Cheney. The first question went back to the crimes and misdemeanors of the Reagan administration and Iran-Contra. John Nichols.
I should tell you one thing that's really important about impeachment. In addition to the fact that the people actually like it a lot, the people who are most dispossessed, the people who are most oppressed in our society, like it the most. And that makes sense. Because if you have been denied the franchise, if you have been denied your rights, you really like the idea that even the president can be held accountable to the law. And so it is no coincidence that the greatest champions of impeachment in recent decades have been African Americans and Latinos. It is no coincidence that the sponsor of the resolution asking for Congress to begin examining the question of impeachment is the longest-serving African-American congressman in the history of the country, John Conyers. The book is dedicated to another congressman who no longer lives, but who served in Congress for the better part of 30 years, congressman from the barrio of San Antonio, the son of Mexican immigrants, Henry B. Gonzalez. When Henry B. Gonzalez was born, he was denied his basic legal rights because of the color of his skin and his ethnicity. But through hard work, he attended Knight Law School, and he learned the Constitution pretty well. Better, I would suggest, than most members of Congress. The book is dedicated to Henry B. Gonzalez because each time during his tenure in Congress, when a president led the country into warfare without a declaration of war, he submitted articles of impeachment because he said the Constitution is clear, a president cannot lead us to war without a vote by the Congress. If that vote has not occurred, he is in violation of the Constitution and he must be impeached. The Democratic leadership of the Congress was embarrassed by Henry B. Gonzalez. They let him chair a powerful banking committee, but they didn't want to ever go near his impeachment resolutions. And tragically, the most important impeachment resolution he put down after the revelation of the Iran-Contra affair, where there was clear illegality within the executive branch, is the root of the current crisis. Because when Democrats in Congress determined that because President Reagan was old and doddering and already clearly losing his faculties, because he only had a matter of months left in his presidency, that they would not hold him to account for the crimes, the high crimes and misdemeanors of Iran-Contra, that they would instead create a select committee to investigate and then give him a very firm slap on the wrist, as well as his Vice President George Bush. They set in stone that level of illegality. They said, you know, president can do this and get away with it. Maybe we'll complain about him. We'll appoint a special prosecutor, but we won't do anything. And you know why they did it? They did it because they thought that if they went easy on Reagan, surely the people would elect him at the next election, right? People would, no way they'd elect George Bush the father, president of the United States, after Iran-Contra. It's impossible. Their failure to impeach created the current moment. That's the essential reality of impeachment. If we fail to impeach George Bush, then 20 years from now, okay, probably you again, will be sitting in the front row at some other book reading, and he will stand up and he'll say, you know, there was a lot of illegality in the Bush years. Why wasn't anything done about it? And it will be in a moment far worse than this. When we fail to impeach, we set in stone the high crimes and misdemeanors and make them a permanent part of the Republic. If we don't impeach Bush, we will doom ourselves to live this moment again in a darker and more troubling form.
The next question for John Nichols was, is the failure of the Bush administration to respond to the flooding of New Orleans an impeachable offense?
Impeachment exists to hold the president to account. One of the great lies is that impeachment is a legal procedure. It is not. If the founders had intended for impeachment to be a legal procedure, they would have put it in the courts. They didn't. They put it in the Congress. It is a political procedure. It is the path by which we hold to account an executive. Impeachment, so ingenious, so better than any other way of holding an official to account. It allows the president, no matter what they've done, as bad as it is, to get in a plane, turn to the people, raise his hands and victory salutes, and fly off to a beach house in California. You are not put in leg irons. You are not put in jail. You are simply removed from office, and a signal is sent to future occupiers of office that they cannot commit those acts and go without some sort of accountability. There is absolutely no reason that George Bush cannot be impeached for his failure to respond to Katrina. He swore an oath of office to protect and preserve the Constitution and to serve the American people. Where he has failed to do so, he has invited the act of impeachment. So I passionately believe that one of the great failures of imagination is to think that this president ought only to be impeached for taking this country to war without a declaration of war. Surely he should be, and surely the founders, above all, intended that to be the sanctioned offense. Spying on the people without legal authority in violation of the Constitution, Richard Nixon was impeached for that act specifically. Using his office inappropriately, enriching his friends, we have had multiple impeachments of judges and others throughout history for that act. One of the things lost in history, they don't teach impeachment in the schools. It's amazing that they do not. They don't teach it because it's the same reason they don't teach a lot of other things. They don't want citizens to be as powerful as they should be. They don't teach you to do what you must do. And most people don't know. There have been 9 attempts to impeach presidents across the history of the United States. And here's the interesting thing. In every one of those instances, the president against whom an impeachment article was laid down was not elected to the next term. In every one of those instances, impeachment does, even if it isn't seen through to the final act, the final removal from office, it holds a president to account. The act of doing it is essential. And here's the other thing. It's politically popular. The Democrats are terrified of impeachment. They think it's dangerous. Well, of the 9 attempts to impeach presidents, at the next election, the party that proposed impeachment either retained its position in Congress or improved it. Of the 9 attempts to impeach a president, in 7 of the instances, in the next election, the party that proposed impeachment took control of the president's office. The people do not punish impeachers. They embrace them and give them power because those who seek to impeach have had the courage to read the Constitution and believe it applies not in the history of the country, but to the current moment.
You are listening to Question and Answer Session on the impeachment of Bush and Cheney with John Nichols, Washington correspondent for The Nation and author of The Genius of Impeachment. The next question was, how do you respond to the fears of people who say that Cheney will become president when Bush is impeached?
Once you start thinking about impeachment and reading about it and learning about it, you get kind of greedy, right? You know, it's initially you're thinking, well, maybe we can impeach a president. And then you're like, wow, if you read the Constitution and if you read the original intent of the founders, it was any member of the executive branch or the judicial branch who committed what were broadly defined as high crimes and misdemeanors. You could impeach Karl Rove, which I think is not a bad idea. And here's the interesting thing. Many people fear impeaching George Bush because Dick Cheney would become president. And, you know, as bad as Bush is, the idea of having a president who actually has no heart is a terrifying one, you know, and one that people think, well, maybe it's just too bad an idea. Here's the essential thing. And I have two separate thoughts here. First off, impeach Cheney first. You know, I mean, no problem there. And, you know, we think of impeachment as a torturous process that must take years and be dragged out forever. You can impeach in a day. You can impeach in a day. It doesn't have to be forever. The House moves the resolutions. The resolutions, the articles of impeachment, if voted by the House, go to the Senate for consideration. It is as simple as that. The reason it takes a long time to do impeachment, and the reason a Bush impeachment, should it happen, will take a long time, is not to get Congress's wheels going. It is to get the imagination of the public so warmed to the idea, so comfortable to it, that they will say, as Time magazine said in 1974, before Nixon's impeachment, that impeachment had become good politics. It is a political act. It takes time because of that. But the formal act of impeachment, you can impeach one after another, and if they violate the law, they're gone. It's as simple as that. So there's no problem in who you impeach. There are no limits upon it. And the other thing that's important, though, separate, is even if you only impeach Bush, and if Cheney becomes president, even if you do that, you have still done the essential act of impeachment, which is to hold to account the occupier of the most powerful office in the land and to say, should the next occupant of this office, be it Dick Cheney or Hillary Clinton or Russ Feingold or Medea Benjamin, whoever that next occupier of that office is, must obey the laws as we have set down, or they too will be removed. So I'm not here to propose, like, making up a list of everybody and impeaching them all. What I am here to propose is the use of the power of impeachment against the president. And if that does not cleanse the office and end the abuses and the high crimes and misdemeanors, then against the next occupant of that office, and so on and so forth, until we have redeemed the republic. That is why we were given the gift of impeachment. It's not a fetish. It's not something that we should, like, keep away and be kind of like scared of or not talk about in public. Impeachment was given to us to use, and to use proudly and without apology.
John Nichols on the impeachment of Bush and Cheney. The last question came from Medea Benjamin. Is recall not a better way to go? And how can we support John Conyers?
These are two essential questions. First off, wouldn't it be better if we could just recall the president? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if you could just be standing out in front of the grocery store with your clipboard and getting signatures, and if you got, you know, a reasonable amount, I don't know, 10% of the people who voted in the last presidential election, 10 million signatures, we could force a new election. And this fall, instead of voting for a Congress, we could be doing the recall election of George Bush. Yes, that would be wonderful. The guy who wrote the introduction to my book he's kind of a fledgling author, and I wanted to give him a little break and let him, you know, associate with me. Gore Vidal says in his introduction that he wishes we had recall because he thinks that recall is a better democratic tool. And frankly, he thinks people love it. And it's true, you know, even in California, you got Schwarzenegger out of it, which wasn't so cool. But wasn't the recall kind of fun? I mean, it's just sort of fun to go and call somebody who's in power to account. I'm sorry, it's what we're intended to do. We are revolutionaries. We are patriots. We have pitchforks and we go down to fight the British. And so the recall's great, but we don't have it. We have this power. So Medea asks the classic political question, what are we going to do? What are we going to do if Democrats do take control of the House? If they do take control of the House, but they say, oh, well, we've got to be careful with our newfound power. We don't want to do anything dangerous. Well, I write about this in The Guardian this week, a lengthy piece about these exact political issues. And here's the deal. Nancy Pelosi, if reelected, does not want to impeach. The votes of San Francisco on the impeachment resolution and the votes for any noble person who might be running against her will signal her about that issue. She will notice it, even if she does not admit it. But we follow that act up with the most important work of progressives in the next 6 months. The most important work of progressives in the next 6 months begins on November 8th. Because if Democrats take control of the House, they need to be under constant pressure. And that pressure must be to do what the people intended. The polls show that barely a third of Americans approve of President Bush's handling of his office. The polls show, this is the incredible thing. You know, the pollsters don't like to poll impeachment. They don't like to touch the question. It's dangerous. And I actually got a note from a guy who's the former head of Gallup's polling. He's written a new book. And he wrote me this note, and he said, you know, I read your new book. I really liked it. Impeachment came up, but there were people in the polling community who said, it'll make Bush mad at us, and we shouldn't do that. But amazingly enough, the Ipsos polling group some months ago threw an impeachment. They're the people who poll for Associated Press. They threw an impeachment question in just for the heck of it. So, you know, what the heck? We'll throw an impeachment question in. You know what they found? People love impeachment. Yes. You know, Democrats, was over 70% of Democrats said if the president lied about going to war, he should be impeached. A plurality of independents said if the president lied about going to war, he should be impeached. The incredible thing is 20% of Republicans said if he lied about going to war, he should be impeached. The fact of the matter is impeachment is good politics. Activists, progressive activists in particular, have to deliver that message quickly and well. And it is a dual message. One, it is the morally appropriate thing to do. It is necessary. But two, it is good politics. You will not be punished. Yes, if you impeach somebody for having sex with an intern, folks aren't going to be too impressed with it. And Nancy Pelosi's terrified of that. She's terrified that she's going to get sanctioned in the same way the Republicans were after they impeached Clinton for really pretty silly reasons. But let's be clear. I would be glad to be punished like the Republicans were after they impeached Clinton. They have held control of the House ever since. They took the presidency in the next election. They have ruled in the most radical, unrestrained manner of any political party in the history of the United States. If they suffered for impeaching Bill Clinton in any way, I would say, boy, let that suffering come upon the Democrats. Because they, you know, we need a little of that suffering. The fact of the matter is Nancy Pelosi needs to be taught about impeachment. And she ain't going to be taught about by the Republicans. She's not going to be taught by Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity. She will be taught by activists who say this is the necessary act. This is what must happen. This is why we elected you. And I will give great honor to a congressman from New Jersey named Steve Rothman. He's not a big radical guy, but he had a town meeting in September when everybody's saying, don't talk about impeachment, don't talk about impeachment. Activists had a town meeting. They invited him to the meeting. They laid down all the complaints. They brought the issue up. And in September of this year, when no Democrat was supposed to be talking about it, Steve signed on to the Conyers resolution. The fact of the matter is there's only one thing that scares members of Congress more than the leader of their caucus telling them not to do something, and that is a great big wampum mass of their voters in their home district telling them they should do it. And so organize, make it an issue, make it a real issue, and I think Democrats can be made at the very least to entertain the prospect. And remember, Impeachment need not be seen through to its conclusion to be a success. That is the ultimate genius of it. To raise the issue of impeachment, to say these acts of this president are so serious that they must be sanctioned, to raise the issue is often sufficient to hold the president to account and to change the behaviors of the executive office. It has happened again and again through history. Impeachment is powerful medicine. It is not dangerous medicine. It's good medicine for the Republic, but it is powerful, and to make an issue of it is a healthy thing that ought to be done. After all the towns in southern Vermont passed their impeachment resolutions, after the city of Brattleboro followed them, after the Brattleboro Reformer became the first newspaper in the United States to endorse impeachment, after every county Democratic Party in Vermont caught this wildfire and got on board, passed resolutions of impeachment, after more than 60 Vermont legislators signed a letter asking for the impeachment of the president, Bernie Sanders said, gosh, I better get in front of this train. And he signed on to Congressman John Conyers' resolution to begin the process of impeaching the president of the United States. When people vote to impeach at the grassroots, their representatives hear it.
John Nichols. In closing, Nichols read a paragraph from his book, The Genius of Impeachment. In his book and his talk, he honors what he calls the impeachment from below movement, the town and city resolutions from Vermont to California that showed elected representatives that there is a determined will to impeach at the grassroots that can move the representatives to take action.
The folks up in Newfane wanted to go talk to the last Speaker of the House, Denny Hastert. Now, Hastert was busy. He was convincing Mark Foley to run for re-election, doing all the other noble things that he does. So it didn't mean a whole lot that Ellen Tenney of Rockingham and Julia DeWalt came down on the train to deliver the articles of impeachment. But they did something else that mattered the night before, and I would close the book with a reflection on that. The night before they went to Hastert's office, Tenney and DeWalt had visited the Jefferson Memorial, from which a statue of the third president warily eyes the White House. At the feet of the man who had warned Americans to be ever vigilant in their watch against an elected despotism, she gently placed copies of the resolutions. In Song of Myself, his epic exploration of what it might mean to be an American citizen, the poet Walt Whitman wrote, "I speak the password primeval. I give the sign of democracy." As the pages of the Vermont resolutions fluttered in the breeze beneath Jefferson's statue, surely the sign of democracy was given across the ages and in the spirit intended. "Who are you, indeed? Who would talk or sing to America?" asked Whitman. "Have you considered the organic compact of the first days of the first year of independence, signed by the commissioners, ratified by the states, and read by Washington at the head of the army? Have you possessed yourself of the federal constitution? Do you see who have left all feudal possessions and poems behind them and assumed the poems and possessions and processes of democracy? Can you hold your hand against all seductions, follies, whirls, contentions? Are you very strong? Are you really of the whole people?" Came the answer, "Yes, from Newfane and Brattleboro and the towns of the Green Mountain State. Yes, from the flatlands of Illinois where legislators proposed impeachment. Yes, from far California where the San Francisco City Commission voted for impeachment. Yes, from the United States. Yes. Echoing the patriots of generations past and generations yet to come, possessed of the federal constitution, assuming the processes of democracy, and holding their own against the seductions, follies, whirls, and fierce contentions, the people spoke the password primeval. They gave the sign of democracy to a country founded in revolt against inherited power and the royal prerogative. They had restored the faith of the founders. No more would they submit to despotism, inherited or elected. They would rise as their ancestors had to the defense of the American experiment. They would turn to their fellow citizens, as had Joseph Warren, the New England revolutionary, who in 1774 drafted the Suffolk Resolves, the first bold declaration that subjects owed no loyalty to rulers who violated their rights. And these, the patriots of an impeachment revolution, that while new in specific complaints was old in principle, would declare in the words of Warren, "Our country is in danger, but not to be despaired of. Our enemies are numerous and powerful, but we have many friends, determining to be free, and heaven and earth will aid the resolution. On you depend the fortunes of America. You are to decide the important question on which rests the happiness and liberty of millions yet unborn. Act worthy of yourselves." The genius of impeachment. I want to close off with this notion, though, and it is an important one, I think. I invite you to enter into an exploration of the history of impeachment. If you explore this power, this procedure, you will be reacquainted with the American experiment in the way that the founders intended. They did not intend for you to be passive citizens. They intended for you to be empowered to remove an elected despot just as they removed an inherited despot. And let me remind you of one final thing. If you know the history of Florida, and if you know the history of Ohio, this despot isn't even elected. So you should feel no qualms whatsoever about removing him. Thank you very much.
You heard part two of a one-hour talk by John Nichols, the Washington correspondent for The Nation magazine and author of The Genius of Impeachment. Nichols was recorded by TUC Radio in San Francisco on November 1st, 2006. Visit TUC Radio's website at www.tucradio.org. That's tucradio.org. Go to the newest programs page. Please find a pen to write down a phone number for information on how to order an audio tape or CD or a film on DVD of this talk. TUC Radio is free to all radio stations. Your CD or DVD order is our only support and is essential in keeping us on the air. Call us toll-free anytime at 877-TUC-TAPE for information on how to order. You can get your tape or CD or film on DVD by mail or credit card by phone or on the web. Our toll-free phone number 877-TUC-TAPE translates into 1-877-882-8273. My name is Mariah Gelarden. Thank you for listening. Give us a call.